Yeah, we'll say right now temporarily. I'm trying to decide and pray about what I'm supposed to do. So that's coming up. But okay, thank you. Yeah, why don't you do that?
Lord, we just want to lift up these tithes and offerings to you, Lord. And you ask that we give with a joyful heart, Lord. You want joyfully for us to give to you, for your kingdom to be furthered in this world, Lord. Your will be done here as in heaven. Lord, we pray that that is what happens with what we give, not just our money, but with our time and our talents. We just want to glorify you with all that we do so the world can be brought out of its darkness and into your marvelous light, your marvelous light. Oh, Holy Spirit, just move. Move wherever these offerings go. Just be there and move in people's lives, in this community, in our schools, in our government, in our country, throughout the world. We just praise you, Lord, with what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Seth. Yeah, so my name is Brian Deal. I am one of your missionaries, and I am a missionary with a group in Kansas City called 111 Global. And I want to say thank you. First of all, before I get into the message, I just want to tell you a little bit about what I do and what we've been doing. This picture I took last year in South Africa, a city called Potchefstroom, and this was at a big multi-day evangelical and equipping conference in this amazing college town in South Africa. And 111 Global is, we are a ministry that's designed, and our desire is to see the Great Commission fulfilled. And in part, we saw in Malachi 1:11, it says that from the sun's rising to its going down, the name of the Lord would be praised. And so our desire is to create and develop communities of worship and prayer in the nations. And so this last year, I was able to spend the entire year with a really large Chinese church in America, in Fremont, California. And me and my team, we were developing their prayer room. Their prayer room was filled with volunteers just like yourselves. Nobody is like paid to serve in this prayer room. And it's just an incredible opportunity. They have a major heart to equip, to disciple leaders in the churches that are in the underground church in China. We don't know how many millions of people that they have influence in, but we're talking more than probably, I don't know, I want to guess, more than a million, I guarantee. And so what you guys pour into me is going into just the work that we get to do there. I know that Nate and Sam are blessed in what they receive as well. And so as one of your missionaries, I just want to thank you from all of us. Your generosity is massive. There's not another church that I know of that has so many missionaries in such a small population. It's incredible. So you guys are a church for the nations, and I just want to declare that over Christ community. So thank you. One of my personal mission points is to equip and disciple lovers of Jesus. And today, at the very end, I'm going to actually invite you guys to join with me if you want. We're going to do an equipping of a kind of a time of prayer, because today's topic is about that. So at the very end, if you guys want, we'll come together and we'll do a prayer using the apostolic prayers. I'll show you those in a few. But there's no pressure, so I just want to put the pressure gauge on like zero. So if you need to go, or if you just want to go have snacks and talk, that's totally cool. There's absolutely no shame in like, hey, I need to go, or I just don't want to. It's okay. But I do want to invite that. I want you to know that one of my joys is to equip the body, to strengthen us so that we actually are fully effective to see God receive the glory. So, if you want to go to the second screen there, we'll get started here on my message. How many of you guys like conspiracy theories? Yeah, they're kind of fascinating, aren't they? I'm not going to lie. I kind of really am fascinated by them. Some of them are, like, goofy, like the flat earth. Like, that doesn't really have ground to stand on, pun intended. But, you know, honestly, like, 9/11, COVID, we could go on and on, honestly. They're fascinating. And conspiracy theories, I think, are really valuable, honestly. And here's one reason why. I think that as we look at things, they make us want truth. They make us want justice. It's kind of a fascinating thing. And as we look at them, it makes us really actually want change. And I really believe that we're in a position and a place where I was like, Lord, how do I talk about this topic? And somehow the word was like, this is like a conspiracy theory. The enemy is deceiving us. And I was like, yeah, that's really cool. So, so before we get to the actual point, I wanna kind of give this a little ground, and I think how conspiracy theories work. You know, we investigate things, we look at things, and those are really cool. Yeah. Are you guys doing okay? I know you're like, wait, there's that screen's, and I'm not the most. Yeah. But screens are kind of cool, aren't they? Because they're like, oh, wow, it's helpful. I can wait a minute. But yeah, I think, honestly, when I think about what is at stake, I look at myself first. And I would encourage you guys to do this also. I'm not trying to put shame on anyone. But it's kind of ironic. I work for a ministry. Its focus is prayer and worship, and prayer is my weakest part of my walk. So if it's a challenge for me, I'll say it's probably a challenge for you. I know when you go to church, prayer meetings are typically the least populated event at a church, right? It's normal. Everywhere I've gone in America, it's kind of like the least popular thing to do is to be in prayer meetings. And so I kind of think the enemy is doing a good job, and it makes me mad. I hope it makes you mad. This is the conspiracy theory that incites change. I hope you're like, that's crazy. I don't like that idea. I don't want to agree with that anymore. So we'll hopefully have some things at the end to help you actually have more joy in your prayer. I know, like, on the Wednesday event that we do, the prayer experience, it's actually an enjoyable prayer meeting. I love saying that phrase. That was an enjoyable prayer meeting. When we do enjoyable prayer meetings, you're like, wow, I just prayed for an hour. That's amazing. I didn't know I could pray for an hour and not, like, look at my watch and wonder when I'm done. Or that was, are we there yet? You know? And that's what happens at the Wednesday prayer experience. The living room is a beautiful time that Seth and I lead. And really, we focus on Thanksgiving first, worship, and then intercession. It's really an important and beautiful thing that we develop our abilities to pray and worship. And so, yeah, so back here on the House of Prayer for All Nations, we already went over Isaiah 56. And then if you want to go to the fifth slide there, let's see where we're at. Is that the fifth one? Go to the next one. Aha. There we go. Yeah, so how's your prayer life? It is definitely something that it starts with us, but it's also the church's prayer life. I think if we are to be known as the house of prayer, it really is the community as well. And so locally, regionally, nationally, I know in America, It's kind of a place of great need. And so as we look forward here, let's go to slide 7. Yeah, the battle isn't lost. Honestly, I love that we actually get to fight and we get to win. And we get to win through our prayer. It's really, really a big deal. So let's look at this identity further. When we know who we are, we can't easily be distracted. We can't easily be persuaded to deviate from what we are called and who we are, right? And so as we look at these things, we're like, oh, no, you don't, devil. Like, literally, like, you're not going to take away my voice. And that's exactly what he wants, is to eliminate our voice with the Father. And so as Jesus declared the temple to be known as the house of prayer, I'd suggest that it's a pivotal role to make us ready for the longest-term role that we actually will have, which is his bride. The entire purpose and point is for us to be walking with him forever. And right now, we are the house of prayer for all nations to actually bring everybody to know the goodness of God, to know him as Savior and Lord, right? Once that's accomplished, once we've discipled and we're actually walking this, Jesus is coming. We graduate from here to heaven. Like, it is a beautiful thing. And we want that. Forever is a long time. And forever we get to be with him. Right now, we are dealing with the present tense. And so I want us to look at that. So yeah, let me go back to one, that seventh, is it eighth slide there? Let's look at what happens when we pray. I think you'll see why this is the reason why the enemy is so against this identity. So much happens when we pray, and there's such a power in it. Let's look at 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Matthew 7:7-8, there's three different passages. They're basically all saying the same thing. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Psalm 2:7-8. It's like God saying, hey, you're my son. You're my daughter. What you ask, I'll give to you. When you're in the family, you're his. You have a voice. And the enemy is out to take your voice. Prayer is the battlefield it can't stand on. And even more important, so as we look at our conversation with our Father, Jesus teaches us how to pray. We can use his words to pray for workers in the harvest, Matthew 9:37-38. All of us that are missionaries love when you pray for us. Please don't stop. Anytime you hear, it's like, we need to pray. We need to be lifting up Sam as he's getting ready to go to Japan. If you guys haven't personally blessed him, I'd love it. I know we bless him as a community, but I know he could use some more money. Plus, he's getting married. So we all know that it'd be good to actually, like, you know, give him some extra money. So bless Sam. But what we need prayer for is what we're accomplishing as missionaries. So you're praying. We use Jesus' words in Matthew 9, and we want to use Scripture in our prayers. So we'll go over that in just a minute. There's some other awesome things. Pray for the Holy Spirit's ministry to be released like it was in Luke 11, verse 13. You can look at that. If there's times of temptation, you can use Jesus' prayer in Matthew 26, that we would have an overcome of temptation. That's 26:40-41. All over the Bible, there's all these prayers. They're called apostolic prayers, especially in the New Testament. And I'm going to pass these out. If you take them, just take one and pass it around. I'll leave one for you side here. What I'm passing out are all the apostolic prayers. So I shouldn't say all, because I'm pretty sure there's some like in Psalms that aren't in there, but there's a lot. there's a lot of prayers in the Bible. But the apostolic prayers are a powerful tool to add a voice to your prayers. When you're praying, a lot of times we just petition, right? But sometimes we need to declare. Sometimes we need to fight. We need to actually go into more than a, hey, God, would you do this? It's, God, you said you will. There's a big difference in asking and then and telling him, right? And you standing on the promises, you know that song, Standing on the Promises of God? It's one of my favorite songs. It's an amazing hymn. We stand on the promises of God. The promises are what you're holding in your hand. These are words of truth that we can use to remind God to move on your behalf, on your friend that you're praying for that needs a miracle. These words are the promises of God, and we need to stand on these. And so as we look at this, our agreement with God is the most effective form of spiritual warfare. I want to read this here. I can't find it in my notes, but we can see how effective the attack's enemy has been on our identity as the house of prayer by our personal prayer lives and by the popularity of prayer meetings throughout the week. And it's because if the church doesn't know its place or doesn't understand its ability to come and talk to the Creator, then the enemy has eliminated a major battlefield. So who likes strategy games? A couple of you? Yeah, it's kind of fun. RPGs, all these things like, the strategy of the enemy is to take out a major battlefield called our prayer life. This is a major battlefield. This is why I call it a conspiracy, because we don't even think it's a big deal. But it's a major deal because it doesn't have a chance. When we're praying, it doesn't have a way to say, yeah, but Jesus, what about me? Right? It's a major battlefield that it is completely wiped away of our conscious value. And so what we do in our prayer times is a huge fight. What we do, if you have a prayer request, call in Kristen, whoever's on the prayer team. If you guys want to be on the prayer team, I bet you there's room, right? Lots of room. All you do is say, hey, I want to pray. These are huge things. And the enemy is like, oh, if we can just take away this battlefield, they have no idea that there is a battle to be fought and that they can win. The enemy doesn't want us to have ground. It wants to take it away. This is why it's a conspiracy. Because this is a battlefield the principalities cannot win on. They have no ground. They have no right to speak. And so it is super important that we pray. It is super important that we are known as the house of prayer. Amen? Amen. So, I think, have we done the weapons thing? Let's go, yeah, there we go. So, so the weapons, I passed out the apostolic prayers. Our personal life is a mixture of this. I think using, I don't know if you guys do quiet times, journaling, but you can also just through the day be praying. If we can develop a habit of prayer as it's just like we're talking, like for all of you that are married, you know how important communication is, right? God feels the same way. And if you don't ever talk to Dad, are you ever going to like get to process things? No. And if you need him to move on stuff, you always ask. He's the best dad. He wants to actually hear our prayers. He wants us to talk to him. So that's a weapon. Another weapon is the armor. So Ephesians 6, and this is going to be also in the challenges, but let's stay on the weapons here. So our communication, God's words, these are standing on the promises, as I've mentioned also, and the apostolic prayers. So these are the prayer weapons that we have. I'm going to get to the challenge, which will also include the armor of God. But let's go actually and look at the apostolic prayer sheet real quick. It's really cool. There's a lot of these, and they're actually, some of them say, like, Jesus's prayers, John's, some prayers that are more personal from the book of Revelation. Paul has the most, you can see. It's pretty amazing. And these are super valuable for so many different things. Today, in the equipping time, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for each other using Ephesians 1, 16, and 17. I love that Keith has been teaching on this for the last month or longer. At least 2 weeks. Yeah, probably 8 weeks. I don't know. A while. It's one of my favorite prayers. I pray for wisdom and revelation all the time. So at the end of this, we're going to actually pray for each other. We're going to pair up, and we're going to pray for each other. Pray for ourselves first, pray for each other, pray for the church, and then we're going to pray for unbelievers. And we're going to use Scripture, especially Ephesians 1:17. But using the apostolic prayers is a massive thing. You'll see there's some in here about praying for unity. There's some that are praying that we would know God's love. A lot of people don't know the love of God. It's something that I am fighting in my own life for. I want to know his love. So I pray Ephesians 3:16 a lot on myself. So start studying these. Use these, because this is a powerful voice to make the enemy pay. So let's go ahead and if you want to go to the challenge here on slide 9, there we go. So we start to change the tide, and we break this conspiracy theory open. And I think it's really key to remember a couple things. I think in Matthew 11, 12, Jesus was saying, and from the days of John Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been treated violently, and violent men take it by force. I think this is a sign that this is a spiritual battle that we are in. This is not a physical thing, but we take it by force, by our prayers. And how do we do that? By putting on the armor. Ephesians 6 is so important. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. So always, every day, in the morning, put on all the armor. It is such an imperative. And remember, this is because it's a spiritual battle, to pray. I love verse 18 of chapter 6. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. It's a personal thing first. That's the other thing. So the next challenge is that your prayer life is super important. It's a personal thing. So in the morning, be like Jesus. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place where he prayed. Be like Jesus. Go to another, wherever you can get away, whatever you need, like solitude, where there's not distraction. I know as minors, if you're on weird schedules, it's hard to do these things, right? But you have that opportunity because you know, everyone knows what fits their schedule, what fits their lives. Parents, if you have little ones, I can only imagine. I live with a family this last year with a one-year-old. So I can kind of understand the challenge of being an early parent. It's a lot of things like, how do I fit this in? Make a way, but be like Jesus, because if he did it, we can too, right? And then be unified. I think this is one of the biggest things as the body. Romans 15, it's in here on this, is about unity. Pray for unity. Be together. What we're doing here is a big part of that, but there's also other places. And we're a body of believers that's more than just Christ Community Church. We are Elko and Spring Creek. So you have friends that you may work with that you can be like, hey, let's start a prayer time. I'm in a group in Fremont. We call it RPGs, Relationship Prayer Group. And at 12:30 to 1 every day, we call each other up and we just pray for each other. We do a thing of thanksgiving. So we praise the Lord first. Then we've shared our prayer requests every time. So we pray for each other. And then we pray for a kingdom issue, something whether it's locally or something that we feel is global that the Lord is highlighting. And so we finish up our prayer time. And it's just 30 minutes, Monday through Friday. I pray with these guys. So you know who you have, friends that aren't even in this place or they are here. But I would totally encourage you just to get together with a couple of brothers and sisters and be together, because unity is a huge thing. Iron sharpens iron, right? A three-chord strand is not easily broken. The Lord is imploring us to be united, be together. So we use God's word to pray, and that's the last thing. Use the apostolic prayers. They're easy. It's built in. You can just put this in your journal. You can put it in your Bible and be like, okay, today I want to pray for my cousin who doesn't know Jesus. And so there's some passages in here that are specifically about people coming to an understanding of the love of God. Or you can even pray Ephesians 1, 16 and 17, that they would just have an experience of God's wisdom and revelation of himself to them. So we want to use God's words to pray. So that is the overarching thing about us as a house of prayer. It is a huge deal that we identify as people who talk to God, that we as a community are known as a house of prayer. And so I encourage you guys to start every day. How do I pray? What do I want to pray about today? Just seek him, talk to him, and see what happens. The enemy will pay. Let's make the enemy pay. Amen? All right. So I'm going to close this. If you guys want to, those that want to come and kind of be activated and pray for each other, I wanted to do that. I'll explain how that goes. I'll pray for us, and then those that want to come up, you can come up. Those that want to break, feel free. But again, like I said, what we'll do, it'll just be about 8 to 10 minutes. The topic is going to be four things. One, yourself, your person that you're going to pray with, the Church of Elko and Spring Creek, or Christ Community Church, and an unbeliever or I like to pray for my friends in the Mormon Church. So that's who I'm going to pray for. And so we'll pray, and then we'll kind of talk about it. We'll all get together after 8 minutes. I'll be kind of the timekeeper on that. So that's what we'll do in just a minute. Okay? So let me pray for us and bless you guys, and we're almost done. So Father God, I just thank you. I just proclaim your goodness here, Father. We just thank you that you want to have communication, that you want us to relate. You made us to walk with you in the garden. You made us to be your sons and daughters, your bride. Father God, I just pray for this body today, Lord, that we would fight back, that we would not let the enemy deceive us any longer, that we would say, I am here to pray. I desire to be in the house of prayer. So, Father, bless us, be with us, in Jesus' name, amen.